afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And my co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is, yay, the first day of spring, March 20th, Wednesday, 2019. Again, welcome to the program. Hello, Dave, and happy spring.
Melody.
Yes.
Happy stinking hump day.
Oh, my gosh. Not spring. Come on. You got to bring in spring there some way. We're all waiting for it.
Yeah, I'll work it in.
All righty, all righty. We have Wendy Wilson joining us this afternoon from Apothecary Herbs for the first segment of the program today. But first, we're going to get to the market report. And gold had a nice little turnaround today after the Fed came out. We'll talk about the Fed in the second part of the program. And the Fed's decision had slammed the dollar just a little bit. And, of course, gold was the happy recipient of an $8 increase today at $1,315. Silver was up 13 pennies today at $15.58. Platinum was up $13 at $869. And palladium was up 8 at $1,604. But I'm gonna look and say platinum was up over 1% higher than palladium. So yes, palladium is at 1600 and platinum is 869. But we've had a nice little run in platinum, and percentage wise, it has been beating palladium. So is palladium getting a little worn out here for the hyperbolic rise that we've seen, or is it just platinum catching up and they're both going to go into outer space? We don't know. But the whole precious metals sector is good to go for what we face here in the very near future. And let's get to that USDX down 52. And it's actually off the low of the day at 95.87. Crude oil today was up $1.09, passed over 60.12. It's been a while since it's been over 60, but I guess the production cuts from OPEC are doing their job. And let's go ahead and get to the paper markets today. There was some pressure at one point in time. I saw the Dow down over, over 100 points, triple digits, and it still is there, down 142 points. They tried to bring it back. 142 points at 25,744. The NASDAQ was up 5 points, basically unchanged, 7,728. S&P was down 8, 2,824. 10-year yield plummeted 2.54%. I think it's been a long time since we saw that number, and we're going to also talk about that when we come back from the break. And kind of interesting, everything that's going on and how we can view things with these lower 10-year yields and, of course, the Fed's decision on not raising rates, holding. And so we'll talk about that. We have Wendy Wilson joining us with Apothecary Herbs. She's going to tell us all about smoking. Hi, Wendy.
Hey, Melody. How, Dave? How are you?
Hey, happy spring.
Yeah, I love it.
She gets happy spring, and I get happy hump day.
Dave. I told you I'd work it in.
Well, we're gonna talk about the electronic cigarettes industry and their product today, because there's been some debate on the safety of the electronic cigarettes, because people have been saying it's healthier than smoking regular cigarettes. So e-cigarettes, electronic cigarettes, vaping, all the same thing. The device that the user uses, they pour a liquid into it and the device is called a mod. And the mod often contains a battery to help fuse the liquid into vapor. So when they vape these liquids, they contain flavors, nicotine, glycerin. So we're going to take a look at what the medical establishment is now learning about the health risks that is associated with electronic cigarettes. So according to the American Lung Association, the e-cigs that contain the flavored varieties are causing what pulmonary physicians are calling popcorn lung. So the flavored liquids can contain some chemicals called diacetyl, or also known as butanediene. And this is often added to foods as a flavor enhancer. For example, it's in the butter flavored liquid popcorn that, you know, they use in the movie theater, that liquid yellow stuff they pour all over it. So this chemical actually reacts differently, though, in the lung as opposed to when you ingest it. So when it's vaporized in the lung, it can cause lung disease. Now, e-cig users should ask, why do the employees that manufacture the diacetyl for the food flavor industry or for the movie popcorn or the microwave popcorn industry, why do you suppose they wear respiratory protection due to the high incidence of lung disease? So the CDC has issued some warnings on diacetyl that is used in the flavorings causing the lung disease, and such flavorings may be safe to eat, they say, but not to breathe in. Here's what they stated October 3rd, 2017. Workers in the diacetyl manufacturing are exposed to hazardous substances which contribute to abnormal lung function within 12 months. What suppose other than the diacetyl makes these e-cigs so toxic? Journal article in the Food and Chemical Toxicology in November of 2017 listed the ingredients of propylene glycol, vegetable glycerin, and nicotine in the e-cig liquids. So in the study, the scientists actually infected rats with components, like they inhaled these e-cig products for about 90 days, and then they checked the toxic ingredients, because the industry has tested these ingredients separately for toxicology, but not used in conjunction together. So the FDA is still really assessing all this research, and they're making regulation changes to the e-cig market as they go. So the toxicology analysis that was done afterwards showed changes in the molecule level. So what they discovered is this: when you add nicotine to these other compounds, it becomes what is called a subtoxic response. You want to keep in mind the research on this was funded by Philip Morris International, when they make cigarettes, which is referred to as a competing interest in the research. Therefore, they concluded that the toxicology was not considered life-threatening or acute and was reversible when the inhalation of these vapors stopped. So the results showed almost similar responses if you inhaled aerosols. And aerosol inhalation is not good. So they said it causes inflammation of lung tissue, cell hyperplasia, squamous cell metaplasia, presence of high macrophage counts. In other words, your immune system, white blood cells are affected. Gene expression disruption, which is higher for females, creating more of an overwhelming regulated gene set. So in other words, your T cells, your immune systems get disengaged, if that makes sense. Also, a lot of enzymes are affected when they add the nicotine to those chemicals. Low hemoglobin counts, low blood protein counts, low calcium levels, fattier livers, higher liver enzymes, which is an indication your liver's in distress, and liver swelling and compression of the bile ducts, all from these ingredients that are in e-cig liquids. Any questions?
No, but you know what's amazing? You know, the CDC and you know, the whoever's in charge of these things and so forth. You know, you have all these warnings. They all tell us how, and they just, and I might be wrong, but why don't they just forbid them?
Yeah.
You know, well, take it off the market. I mean, right, gosh. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. My daughter, who's a millennial, she's going to be 27 in May. She worked for an e-cig company for about 5-6 years. She's working for somebody else now. But she said they were actually engaged. They would go to Washington, D.C. and have discussions with the FDA. Because the e-cigs, it's all about the flavors, okay? And the company she worked for made, you know, hundreds of different flavors. And the FDA was really concerned about those flavorings and the glycerin, the glycol in them. It's a million-dollar industry. She worked for the second largest e-cig company in the country, and it was a million-dollar industry then. So it's all about the money, I can answer your question that way.
No, I mean, it is. It all comes down to the money, and it's just like anything else. You know, all the GMOs and everything else, they all know the damage that's being done, but oh, heaven forbid, if you put in the wrong type of feed to feed the fish somewhere in a pond, my God, you're arrested.
I know. Can't feed that fish. You can't even feed the homeless, you know. Well, now the U.S. National Library of Medicine and Institute of Health did a report on the physiological changes. This report was in October 2017. They said the electronic cigarette vapors do affect pulmonary on a molecule gene level. They did not seem to have any conflicting interest in their research, and they concluded that your ingredients in these vape products will alter gene expression in your lungs, liver, kidneys, skeletal muscles, and brain. They also said that the e-cigs alter the rhythmic genes that help regulate your circadian rhythm or sleep cycle. And if you don't have that working well, it increases your risk of disease. And their research team was clear to state that it was not the nicotine that they said caused a lot of these changes. It was caused by the propylene glycol and the glycerol ingredients. Here is a quote from their report. They say our exposure is similar to the principal most tobacco cigarette smoke exposure systems offer. It's instrumental in identifying the mechanisms behind the pulmonary and systemic consequences. So they said this, according to the Respiratory Critical Care Medicine Department of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, they examined lung tissue that was affected by e-cig changes, 300 proteins inside the epithelial cells, whereas compared to a traditional smoker who smokes cigarettes, it only causes 78 protein changes.
Wow.
Amazing. Yeah.
Incredible. Yep.
It is. So really, it looks more deadly than smoking a pack of, you know, Marlboros. You know? Sorry to say.
But you know what? You've gotten all these kinds of warnings and everything for smoking, you know, cigarettes and everything, but very few warnings on these vaporing.
This is true. See, this is where, you know, the FDA is making changes and regulating this industry as they go. They just haven't been working off enough information yet. Here is Dr. Alexander Lacombe, Teflon Kids Institute in Australia. They did a study on the e-cigs, and he says most e-cigs contain potentially dangerous chemicals like formaldehyde and will have some form of respiratory impact as well as full body effects from these devices. Formaldehyde
is in everything now. It's in a lot of things anymore. Some of your coffees, and I don't know the name that it comes under.
Yeah.
But it's my understanding that formaldehyde is in tons of our products.
Right, and the Respiratory Critical Care Medicine Department, University of North Carolina, said the e-liquids will rapidly enter the cells, reduce membrane fluidity, impair protein diffusion, and they say these changes are not harmless and could progress to chronic lung disease. Actually, they are predicting, get this, the changes we're seeing with vaping, both in laboratory experiments and in study of people who vape, are consistent with early signs of lung damage, which is very worrisome. Adults who vape are 1.7 times more likely to experience wheezing and difficulty breathing. So when you have this wheezing issue, it means the passages in your pulmonary are narrowing. That's why you're wheezing. Mm. So we're going to have a bunch of millennials by the time they're 35 looking like, you know, I don't know.
85, 95.
Yeah. Yeah, can't
well,
do nothing.
Medically, yeah.
Yeah, can't do anything. Can't go upstairs and stuff, you know, when you can't get oxygen in. Here's a staggering statistic. They said there's been a 78% increase in e-cig use among high school seniors and 48% among 6th and 8th graders.
6th and 8th graders?
Yeah, they're vaping, and they're not supposed to have those devices, see.
Good grief.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, they're saying if you're vaping, you're twice as likely to develop pulmonary disease, wheezing, compared to those who don't. Twice as likely. E-cigs are really aerosols, is what they're saying. And, you know, you're not supposed to be breathing in aerosols. And all this lung damage, inflammation, free radicals. It's not clear if even health insurance will cover these people down the road, you know?
Well, you know, anything that you inhale and take into your body that's not supposed to be there is not good. I mean, it goes from food and everything. I mean, we know what we're supposed to do to keep us healthy, and everything, anything we bring in, you know, it's got to have some sort of an impact. And the sad thing is how these are being marketed, you know, it's being marketed as safer than smoking.
Yeah, and the FDA is cracking down on that. Yeah. They've also, from what I understand.
How many years too late, though?
Yeah, and I also understand through my daughter who was working in that industry, she said that they've also stopped and are giving warning letters and fines to e-cig companies that are starting or that are still advertising their product to those under 18. So that if their target market is, you know, under 18, they're in trouble. So they have to watch their advertising. So, I mean, but the thing is, you know, if you've got a vape liquid that's bubble gum or gummy bear, you know, in flavor or whatever else you want to call it,
yeah.
Right? What market is that? That's the younger ones, right?
Yeah, I don't think a 45-year-old wants to have gummy bear.
No, they don't want the cotton candy one. They want the pina colada one.
Yeah, you know? You're right.
So, but you are totally right, Melody, that, you know, within 6 days, foods change your DNA. So this is definitely the fastest way in your pulmonary system to poison yourself and really undermine DNA. So people need to, and if you want to quit smoking, we have a product called Smoker's Helper that helps you quit and on a non-toxic way. And by the way, we're having our spring sale at Apothecary Herb, so it's 20% off orders of $50 or more, but the sale ends tomorrow because we've been running it about a week now. So take advantage of the spring sale. Get your organ cleanses, your immune boosters, things for summer for poison ivy, oak and sumac, you know, the dog organic eucalyptus, flea and tick collars, all that stuff is on sale. So thepowerherbs.com, or they can give us a call at 866-229-3663. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 866-229-3663. And I can't believe it's spring already.
Well, it's winter seemed long and dreary. It wasn't very cold, but it seemed to be very dreary for a very long time. So I'm looking forward to the sunshine.
Me too.
And absolutely. Make sure all that. I need some of that vitamin D3.
That's right.
Some natural D3. But ladies and gentlemen, 866-229-3663. If you know any smokers out there that are trying to quit, give Wendy a call. She has a product that can help them, and it's natural and it's healthy. Go figure that there's actually a product that's healthy for you out there that can help you stop smoking. 866-229-3663. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.
Bye, Wendy.
We'll talk to you next week, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in just a few short minutes.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And I'm happy today. It's spring. Can you tell, ladies and gentlemen? I'm happy. And I'm also happy because gold was up $8 today at 1315. I told you it was trying to build that base around that level. And we'll see if it continues. But some good signs for gold. And, of course, we're going into that deadline date of the Basel III Accord. Coming up March 31st. We'll see if that has any knee-jerk reactions to the gold market, but after April 1st. So I know a lot of people are betting on that, but let's just see what happens. We could have a knee-jerk reaction, and we could just have some nice, steady increases in gold. But to me, Dave, it tells me that the Fed is suggesting no more rate hikes in 2019, that they are really concerned about the economy. That's what it's telling me. It's telling me that they're totally concerned, and they certainly got enough, probably enough pressure from D.C., from the White House, not to raise rates. And so, you know, they are, and I've even read, Dave, where it might be 2021 before they actually do another rate hike. So it's
going to be very difficult politically for them to make any moves during the campaign, the heart of the campaign next year. I agree with what you're suggesting there, that even if they're looking for rate declines, that I think it's they're going to be hard pressed to do that without fear being accused of trying to sway the election one way or the other. Theoretically it's their job, right? I mean, if the economy should take another nosedive or goes in the other direction, and all of a sudden wages take off and there's inflation that's way above their target, then maybe bets are off. But other than some drastic news, I wholeheartedly agree with your suggestion there.
But now we saw that the 10-year Treasury fell to their lowest, Dave, today, and how long?
Yeah, in a year. I mean, the 10-year yields were down. Committee members, the FOMC members, had estimated just in December that two rate hikes would be appropriate this year after four increases last year. They also pointed to at least one, another one before the end of this round of policy tightening that began in December of 2015. However, there now appears to be no likelihood of a hike in 2019, unless, as we were just talking about, conditions change significantly. In its post-meeting statement, the FOMC indicated it would remain, quote, patient before adopting any further increases. The move came along with reduced expectations in GDP growth and inflation, and a bump higher in their unemployment outlook. Now, for a central bank not so long ago intent on normalizing policy from its financial crisis era accommodation levels, the developments at this week's meeting, Melody, certainly represents a striking change in direction.
Well, it does. And if you look at the mortgage rates and everything, if they really expect keeping these mortgage rates at this level, if they think it's going to turn around the market, I think they messed up on the timing because, well, maybe not. Maybe the lower end, maybe by holding on the rates, Fed fund rates, maybe because the tax reform is winding down, now maybe the rates staying the same will keep it going just a little bit longer. So maybe the timing for this is in conjunction to the positive effect of the tax reform wearing out.
Interesting theory.
Yeah, because it's will this keep everything floating along normally, or have we entered into a period of where our economy is just when you talk about 20,000 jobs being created last month, and yeah, it's a short month, so you know, you add a few extra days, so maybe there would have been 30,000 jobs maybe, but it's still very, I'd never expected 20,000 jobs. You know, if it was to be the low side, I would have figured maybe 100,000 or something like that. But that is an incredible low number. I mean, you're talking 400 jobs a state being created. That's not very many, ladies and gentlemen, not at all. They're also going to unwind. The unwinding of their balance sheet is going to conclude at the end of September, which I think also is an interesting time to end the unwinding. You know, the fiscal budget will be going into effect, and everything else is kind of unwinding in September. So, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, if they conclude the unwinding, that gives them more room to create stimulus to put into the economy. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, yes.
Yeah. So I'm thinking they're not anticipating a good, you know, good year for 2019, and perhaps they're going to need extra room for stimulus by the end of 2019 going into 2020 just to keep things going.
Well, often Washington can't help itself, particularly when it comes to things like spending restraint. And perhaps, you know, to its credit, the Fed may just be, you know, anticipating some election manipulation of fiscal policy by either or both parties in their own ways. It's certainly going to be difficult to get anything significant through without bipartisan consensus. So, you know, maybe the Fed is on to something there.
Well, maybe, but then again, I think to myself, do they really plan that far in advance? You know, I mean, they have to know something today because I believe the markets, the economy and everything is really based on, you know, it's just reactionary. It's not, but you know, I don't know. It's really interesting, and it kind of sets into our theory that, you know, our economy truly is on a wing and a prayer. And there was some other Fed officials now see some economic gains of just 2.1% this year. And that is even down from the 2.3% estimate in December. And I'm not even going to talk about their silly inflation reaching 1.8%, but the unemployment rate for this year is now seen at 3.7%. That is up 0.2 percentage points from December. And let's see, in the statement explaining its decision, the committee said economic activity has slowed, even though the labor market remains strong, despite February's, again, they're talking about the 20,000 growth in non-farm payrolls. Inflation declined a little bit. Mortgage apps, well, you know, lower rates are not giving mortgage demand any sizable boost, except when it comes to higher end homes. But we talked about that, I think, was it last week, where these homes are just being priced, you know, they're just getting so expensive. We had the total mortgage application volume rose 1.6% last week from the previous week. Volume was 1.8% higher than a year ago. And these gains came mostly from refinance volume, which is kind of odd, wouldn't you think? I mean, considering...
No.
No? I mean, what are they refinancing? The rates were lower for the past how many years?
Well, I think a lot of them, though, were probably looking to move up and then just decided, you know, that for a variety of reasons that they couldn't afford it. And so they decided to stay put and instead, you know, refi. I think, I mean, that's my theory. I don't know.
Taking their money out of the home by refinancing, taking their equity?
Maybe in some cases. In others, just, I think, you know, perhaps to save, to reduce their monthly payments. And either have more disposable income for other things, such as, you know, vacations or college or
My point is, how soon do you refinance? You don't refinance 1 year or 2 years after you go into a mortgage. So my point is, if you look at interest rates in the past 2 years, they've only gone up. So you have to have a good percentage point in order to make it any difference in your payment or anything. So that's what I'm questioning. I mean, we've had ultra low. I mean, unless you had a mortgage 20 years ago, that would be higher. But you would have thought all these people 20 years ago would have refinanced a lot sooner than.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure most of them have, and probably more than once. I think it's a matter of people just deciding to forego, you know, moving into a larger space, even though, you know, that seems to be where the applications are rising. Not sure the answer.
Yeah, to me, I just think that's a funny, you know, funny number, you know, because I'm just trying to figure that one out. But anyway. Let's go ahead and move on. Let's see, the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed conforming loan balances of $484,000 or less, decreased from 4.55% from 4.64%. Dave?
Yeah, well, mortgage apps to purchase a home increased 0.3% for the week and was 1% higher than 1 year ago. The average loan size, however, set a record for the third week in a row at $327,500. Now, for example, the median price of a home sold in January was just $247,500. That, of course, according to the National Association of Realtors. Now, the number reflects that entry-level housing supply remains weak and is likely hindering some of the would-be first-time buyers from finding a home. And with faster growth in the higher price tiers, that's why the average loan application size has risen to a new high for three straight weeks.
Wow. FedEx, I had some interesting stats on FedEx today, and I might be able to bring them up here shortly. Let me see if I can do this. There was some headlines today were really interesting. Global economy in worse shape since the Great Recession. But we'll talk about FedEx came out today. A top executive he's flagging some serious concerns in the global economy. They reported declining international revenue as a result of unfavorable exchange rates and the negative effects of trade battles. You have slowing international macroeconomic conditions. You have weaker global trade. Growth trends continue, as seen in the year-over-year decline in our FedEx international revenue. And this was reported by or written about by Alan Graf. He's the FedEx CFO. So FedEx reported weaker than expected third quarter earnings and revenue after the closing bell yesterday, and they cut its full year guidance. So despite what it says is a strong U.S. economy, FedEx said its international business weakened during the second quarter, especially in Europe.
Well, interestingly, to compensate for lower revenue, Graf said FedEx began a voluntary employee buyout program and has also constrained its hiring. It's also limiting what it calls discretionary spending and is reviewing additional actions. Not sure what that might be. Now, FedEx sees the U.S. and China remaining deadlocked on trade and tariffs, although yesterday there were a number of reports about progress on negotiations between the two countries. Some U.S. officials we read are concerned that China is reneging on certain trade concessions that were made in earlier two-way talks. Melody.
You know, I just mentioned that there was some signs that I came across this morning, and when I was on an earlier program I talked about, and I'm just going to read these off real quick, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Ford Motor Company. The U.S. freight volume dropped for 3 months in a row. In February, orders for Class 8 freight trucks were down 58% from a year ago. U.S. manufacturing output was down for a second straight month in the month of February. U.S. residential construction spending just plunged for the sixth month in a row. Industrial production on a year-over-year basis in Europe has fallen for 3 months in a row. We talked about the retailers. We talked about Shopko. We talk about all of these other retailers. You can say, oh, everybody's shopping online, but I don't believe that's the 100% excuse for these companies failing. I think it's a combination. It's a combination of design. It's a combination of mismanagement. It's a combination of online selling. It's a combination of, I think, just a decline, not just a changeover in how people are buying anymore, how they're consumption habits are changing. I think it's a sign of decline in our local, in our smaller areas, in our smaller localities. The infrastructure. You know, these malls, Dave, would you classify that as infrastructure to some degree?
Well, certainly roads, leading roads and modes of transportation leading to and from the malls. And, you know, by definition, you know, the mall structures themselves are a type of infrastructure.
Yeah, so, you know, all of that around that is decaying across this country. So I guess this is a bright spot, though. See, we have bright spots. It's spring. Ford Motor Company announced it's adding production of a fully electric vehicle at a second North American plant as part of an $11 billion investment plan set last year. We'll finish this up when we get back. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Dave Allen.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. I want to get over this article before we move on, and then I'll tell you about our special, which is a continuing special that you've heard me tell you about all week and last week. Ford Motor Company did announce it's adding production of a fully electric vehicle. It's an $11 billion investment plan that was set last year, and they're investing about $900 million in Southeast Michigan. Hopefully they're going to create 900 jobs through 2023 as part of its electric vehicle push. So it also plans to invest another $850 million to expand production's capacity at its Flat Rock, Michigan plant to build EVs. And I'm assuming the EVs are electric vehicles.
Yes.
Now, that's a lot of money to be spending for, doesn't seem to have a lot of demand, but, you know, when you have people just wanting to go out there and buy SUVs and everything, but Ford is negotiating an alliance with Germany's Volkswagen. I mean, they've had a bad, wasn't it Volkswagen who had the bad rap and all the lying and cheating they did about their vehicles, about mm-hmm. their emissions and stuff like that. So I'm not sure that'd be the best people to negotiate an alliance with, but nevertheless, Ford is, and they're going to work together on these electric vehicles. Talks have been positive, but nothing to announce. So again, is this just all image building? We don't know. Ford in January of 2018 said it would increase its planned investments in electric vehicles. They have 40 hybrid and fully electric vehicles in its model lineup. That's a lot. 40 different hybrids? I mean, that's a lot, Dave.
Seems like a lot to me.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, they're getting a lot of pressure. I mean, they're getting pressure by other electric car makers like Tesla.
Yeah, but who can afford Tesla vehicles? How can that competition be?
Well,
Tesla vehicle, doesn't they start out like 100,000 plus?
No. I'm sure you can get up there, but I mean the second round, I believe, started under 40. Now, you know, that they were having
with big issues.
They continue to have, you know, problems with rollout time. But you know, you can. You have a friend, I think their model, they had the first model that I think started in the lower mid 80s. You know, they got theirs a lot more quickly than this next generation. But you know, they're also getting pressure from regulators in other countries. You know, China, Europe, California. Well, that's kind of like another country.
It certainly is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's about, you know, slashing carbon emissions. So, you know, it's. I think there's, to some extent, they're going to have to be creating demand to the extent that it's, you know, it's not driving this new construction, this new manufacturing. Now, Ford did say that, you know, it's also going to build its first self-driving vehicles for use by commercial customers at a new manufacturing center in Michigan, and that will be in 2021.
But I also believe that they're building a plant in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
So they're building a – so, you know, trust me, ladies and gentlemen, they all got something up their sleeve. You know, it's not about building here in the United States. It's all about their bottom line and what they can do. And but they want to plan in an all-electric sport utility vehicle in 2020, and that's the one that's going to be built in a plant in Mexico. So, you know, a lot of changes, but we'll be positive. There's some jobs being created in Michigan. Palladium rises to an all-time high. We talked about that a little bit ago at the top of the program. I mentioned that. And spot palladium hit a 1608 record high. We saw it ease back a little bit. The Trade and Industry Ministry of Russia, a major producer of the vehicle catalyst, is contemplating a temporary ban on the export of precious metals, scrap, and tailings from May 1st. To October 31st this year. On the technical front, the rally in palladium could fizzle out. This comes from a chief analyst from Active Trades. But, you know, we all know that palladium and platinum are both used as emissions-reducing catalysts in autos. Palladium is used more in gasoline engines.
Yeah, and the expectation of, you know, finding or creating alternatives to palladium haven't materialized. And even if one is discovered, a substitution, it could take months, if not years, to be implemented. So don't consider, you know, dumping your palladium or not buying it just yet. Just do your research and call us if you need help in, you know, guiding, getting you to other resources.
Well, you know, I personally believe that, you know, maybe we are, we talked a little bit about it yesterday, where, you know, we're beginning to see platinum rise percentage-wise greater than palladium. We know that they're paper trading in palladium also. It's a combination, I think, of everything, and you're right, Dave. We're just not sure which direction it's going to go. However, when something reaches high, hey, does anybody remember cryptocurrencies at 20,000? And everybody says, oh,
it's just the next level.
It's just the next level. So when something hits historic highs, there's a reason they're historic highs. And the economies around the world, we're telling you, where is the demand coming from? Yeah, technology, maybe. But if you believe that the world economies are slowing down, your industrial metals, you would think the demand. So you have a lot of paper trading going on in there. You have a lot of you have Russia tinkering. You have demand. You have to include demand, absolutely. So it's a very speculative, and of course, you know, again, it's also attached itself a little bit to rhodium. You know, we can see both rise at the same time. There was a little bit of pause with rhodium as palladium was rising to over 1,600. But now rhodium has taken off. I believe that's over 3,000 now. Let me see if I can pull that out. And I can remember back in, I think it was 2004, maybe 2005, we saw rhodium go from 400 to 10,000. It broke quickly and dropped back down to 400 in a matter of weeks. Yes, rhodium right now is at 3210. So I don't know. Is this another play where we can see palladium tag along with rhodium, and rhodium is being pushed up to 10,000 again? I don't know. But if you go back to 2004, we were having a pretty good economy at that point in time, and I don't think you can compare this economy to 2004. I don't think you can. But anyway, moving on a little bit to the UK, Dave, Brexit. you know, the UK Prime Minister Theresa May, she formally requested a short delay to Brexit today, and in a letter to EU leaders, she seeks to put Britain's departure on hold until June 30th. I don't know what that's going to do, you know, from now until June 30th. But under the current law, the UK is set to leave the European Union with or without a deal at 11 p.m. London time on March 29th. And you know, something else interesting, Dave. This date, March 29, along with the Basel Accord, Basel III, you know, it all comes at the same time. So it could be interesting. It could be a very interesting beginning to April 1st.
Yeah, how about it? Well, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty with respect to Brexit, obviously. The House of Commons Speaker, John Bercow, I mean, he said earlier this week that, you know, the language of a Brexit deal is going to have to be fundamentally different in order for him to approve a third vote. Now, even though May has said she fully intends to bring her withdrawal agreement to the House of Commons for a third time. Now, the UK lawmakers they're getting closer. They defeated it by a smaller margin than the first time. Still, 149 votes have to be, you know, that's what the second round lost by. Now, you know, EU Brexit negotiators have said previously that, you know, the EU would not grant a delay without a concrete plan from Britain about what it planned to do with the extra time should, you know, the member states in the Commission grant this extension until June 30th. So there's still a lot of uncertainty. I don't know what happens. The UK has virtually no leverage at this point. May has
lost all her credibility, though.
She's in a really difficult situation, and I don't see how she survives a third no vote.
She can't get the job done. So.
Yep.
So, is this a job that just can't be done?
It could very well be reflecting that buyer's remorse that we've talked about in the past. That even though, you know, May says she will not support another referendum, you know, I shouldn't even talk about mine. I mean, the people who know a lot more about this than we do, as a, you know, they're split. Some UK observers say that, you know, another referendum would fail. And others say that it would be, you know, it would confirm the first referendum outcome to leave Brexit, and they'd be back to where they started. It's a difficult situation. I'll tell you, though, the Parliament has to decide how it gets itself out of this mess. If it's all about, you know, the Labour Party wanting to dump May, well, okay, get it over with. I mean, your people have a lot to lose.
But the Parliament should be going on with what the people voted for. And it was said, it was done, so it should get this done and do what has to be done. And just because you have those in Parliament who don't agree with the voters, that's not what I didn't think was their job. But anyway,
I would agree. I would agree with you.
Yeah. Let's let's go ahead and I wanted to get, you know, 2 minutes. We were going to do your brevity is golden. I do want to save this information on the International Trade Commission says steel producers are harmed by imports. No kidding. But I think it's an interesting article, Dave, that we do need to talk about. So I really want to bring this back to our next. And I don't know if we have enough time to do your brevity is golden, but I know you wanted to talk about the woolly.
Woolly mammoth, yeah, we should save that for next week, perhaps.
We've teased these listeners for how long now? A whole week? They have to wait till next week for the woolly.
Absolutely, this is called demand marketing. We're teasing you to try and get you to, you know, make sure you tune in on Monday.
But it is interesting. It's an experiment where they were using a process known as nuclear transfer. Japanese-Russian scientists collected 88 nucleus-like structures and from muscle tissue. And it really is fascinating, ladies and gentlemen. And I think this is something that I think it's something that we should all be interested in. But
I'd suggest that listeners go out and if you have cable TV, then go on demand and rent the original Jurassic Park. That'll give you somewhat of an idea of what's going on here.
And I didn't bring the special today. We have the 25 face value, 90% silver, half dollars, and a 1/4 ounce American Gold Eagle. $660. And yes, gold's up how much today? Silver's up how much today, ladies and gentlemen? And we're going to offer it at yesterday's and the day before that price, $660. And you can purchase one or 100 of these. And if you purchase more than one, you'll get free shipping to boot. So 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Thank you, Dave.
Hey, my pleasure.
Always a pleasure here. And listeners, it's always a pleasure to spend this hour with you. Thank you. And we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.